I'm going to read the text in its entirety before I begin going through the notes. It's, and you can see the text is Psalm 19. Now I'm going to read verse 1 first and then verses 7 through 11. It's a very familiar passage, and I know every preacher in the brotherhood has used this section of text from the psalm in a sermon before, so I just put together the chart at the top to kind of give a little overview first. But here's the text itself. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. And then verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. As I go through this, you can see already in your notes, but just think about the title, the treasures that are found in Scripture. So look at all the benefits as I read that the psalmist is pointing out. What's the value of God's Word? So verse 7 again. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So when you look at the chart, I just listed there's five titles for the Bible in that text. You can see it in that second column of synonyms: law, testimony, statutes, commandments, judgments. There's other places in the Bible that are words that are used. For example, you know, 2 Timothy 3:15, all scripture. So there's another word for the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 4, it uses the word precepts. So the Bible is used, there's different definitions or words that are used to describe the Bible. It's not just a book to be read. It's a book to be obeyed. You have it in the words law, testimony, statutes, commandments. In the third column, you have the adjectives. And then when you get to the final column, you see an application. And that's the heart of the lesson this evening. Want to know what the Bible was going to do for us. Where's the treasure, or what is the treasure in Scripture? And so when you look at this verse or this psalm, you can see the power that the Bible has to change lives. And that's what the value, one value of the Scripture. So we're going to look at these nine actions, at least I've listed, about the Bible in these verses. Number one, and I have a different title for each of these. I just put the verse in your text. But number one, the Bible will restore your soul. It's in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So the Bible, I sometimes use the phrase, is God's change agent for salvation. The Word of God has the ability to change your life. It can convert the soul. There's a message there. One cannot become a Christian without the Bible. You just cannot. Some might say, well, Brian, I know someone who's a Christian, they don't even have a Bible. Of course, my response is, well, they didn't become a Christian without some influence of the Bible. Either they heard a sermon or someone taught them or shared a gospel message, but they had to learn the message of the Bible somewhere from somebody. The message of Christianity can only be found in one place. That's the Bible. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth. Ah, purified your soul, converting your soul from the truth. And it says, being in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the one treasure that the Bible gives is in our text, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Number two, the treasure is that the Bible renews your mind. It's in verse 7. Like I say, some of my phrasing is this. I just gave you the verses. You know, I have another heading in my notes. So number two is the Bible renews your mind. It's in verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I didn't change those words around a little bit and just said making me wise. I'm the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making me wise. So the Bible gives practical guidance that we need to know in order to live successfully on God's side. We read God's word and we say, I need to do that. Or you read God's word and it says, I better not do that. So the Bible is God's wisdom to us. It makes us wise. It's God's, some other phrase, it's God's owner's manual. You know, when you get an automobile and it comes with an owner's manual, there's a maintenance guide. Well, that's what God's word does for us. It's a maintenance manual. It renews our mind. It keeps us safe. It makes wise the simple. Makes me wise. Number three, the Bible will rejoice your heart. It's in verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So again, another treasure that's found in the Bible. It rejoices the heart. Bible is one of the best ways to lift your spirit. There's a message there, or there's a story, there's a text, there's something to be found there that will lift your spirit. You know, when you go to the Bible, to lift your spirit, I don't recommend Leviticus. I'll recommend the Psalms. Or maybe one of the Gospels or Paul's letter to the churches. But brethren have printed list of Bible helps in the back of one of my Bibles. I have it had as a child. There's a whole section, and it just is titled God's Answers to Man's Concerns. And there's about 40 different phrases. How to abide in Christ, and it gives you three or four verses. How to, for answered prayer, if that's what you're concerned about. Or Christ's love, or courage, divine comfort, divine guidance. And after each one of these phrases, there's two or three scriptures. Forgiveness, God's care for you, is that on your mind? Or I want to read something about God's love for me, and it gives you verses. So in this text, in Psalm 19, it has that phrase that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Bible text has the ability to lift our spirits, the power of prayer. And like I say, there's salvation, spiritual strength, thankfulness. So just in the back of the Bible, there's it just gives a list of a subject matter or a topic, and then the verses that would answer that would lift your spirits. Number four in your notes, the Bible will refocus your vision. It's in verse 8. The commandment is pure, enlightening the eyes. So God's word now gives clarity of vision. When we see things as they are, we can stay out of trouble. One man described another, he said, he's the president of the state of denial. Not somebody else, he's in the state of denial. A lot of people live in that kind of state. But you can't live in that state when you read the Bible, because it will reveal who you are, your relationship with God, your relationship with one another. It will enlighten your eyes. Oh, that's right. There's none righteous. No, not one. Oh, that's right. I need salvation. I need to hear the word of God. The Bible enlightens the eyes. I wonder, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. It enlightens my eyes, gives me direction. You know? So the treasure in God's word. In Psalm 109, number 5 in your notes. The Bible will reinforce your life. It's in verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Forever. Ah, you like the definition of that word. It means something that lasts. The meaning of that phrase, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, means God's word is not going to change. It's not going to let you down. God's word will not fail. God's word is never out of date. It'll be there when you need it. It endures. It endures. Whatever situation you're in, it endures. In Psalm 119, verse 89, says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The word's forever. God's word. So the what treasure is here now? In verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. It lasts. It's not going to change. There won't be a new edition. What you read is not out of date. It's there. It will solve a situation in the present that you need. Number 6, the Bible will replace your doubts. It's in verse 9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's true and righteous. You know, there's not a lot of things in life that are true. There's many things, I guess. Some things that are true or that we think are true, and then sometime later we find out, no, that's not true. Didn't happen that way. You know, it used to be when I took the newspaper on page A2, inside the second page, there was in the lower left-hand corner, there was a box that had corrections from yesterday's newspaper. Yeah, sometimes what you read may not be altogether true, but the Bible's true. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. They're right altogether. So when you read the Bible, you can have confidence that it's withstood centuries of people trying to discredit. People try to diminish the Bible, or they try to destroy it. Oh, but the psalmist said, you know what? There's a treasure in the Bible. It's true. It's true and righteous altogether. It's lasted. It's still relevant. If it's not, then why would we read it? If your Bible can't be trusted, why would I preach a message that might change or be altered or have a new edition come out next year? No. The Bible lasts. It's true. Number 7, in verse 10, the Bible will reorder your values. In verse 10, more to be desired are they, meaning the judgments, than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. See, the Bible is of far more value than many people give it credit. The psalmist says, it's more to be desired are they. The judgments, the statutes, the treasures that are found in God's word, more to be desired than gold. And look how much effort people put in gold or fine gold. Look how much effort people put in the other illustration, honey and the honeycomb. Choosing something other than the Bible is really dangerous, but here's the illustration. You know, my brother when his kids were little, he would always say, would you rather have these 4 pennies or a quarter? And you know what they would always take? The 4 pennies, because there were 4 of them and only 1 quarter, but they didn't know the value. All they understood was the number. The same thing with the Bible. When people understand its value, oh, it become a treasure in your life. Become a treasure. We see the foolishness in, you know, that illustration of the child. We see the foolishness of the child because they haven't learned yet. And we know that, we hope as they get older, they'll, if it's, that same offer is made, they'll choose the quarter. I can't remember. There was a story similar. It just came to mind. There were the two brothers, and the grandparent would come in and use that same illustration. And would you really have the 4 pennies or a quarter? And they always took the 4 pennies. And the other brother said, he learned the value. He says, no, the quarter's of far more value. We take the quarter. The other brother says, oh, no. If as soon as I take the quarter, Dad or Grandpa is going to stop offering. So as long as he keeps on, I'll keep taking the 4 pennies, the 4 pennies, the 4 pennies. So I'm not taking the quarter. So, oh, that's right. Number 8, the Bible will redirect your path. Oh, the one other verse, I can't remember. Oh, number 7 in your notes. In Proverbs 23, verse 23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth. It's a more precious than gold or fine gold. Much more to be desired. So buy the truth, the truth. Number 8, the Bible will redirect your path. It's in verse 11. Moreover, by them, in the judgments, is thy servant warned. You know, we know the Bible's full of warnings. And some people don't want to read the Bible because it tells them not to do something that they want to do. I don't want that warning. So you think it through, though. Warnings are valuable. They keep us out of trouble. They protect us. You see, the warning signs, don't touch. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. Don't enter. Don't run with scissors. Don't cross when lights are flashing and bells are sounding. Don't check the gas tank with a match. We have all the warnings. All the warnings. To keep us safe. Now, the Bible will redirect our life. It's verse 11. Moreover, by them, the servant is warned. That's right. So the Bible tells us things to avoid so we don't get hurt. And my phrase is, you know, in the Bible, God has never asked us to leave anything that's good for us. He's only asked us to leave those things that will harm us physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Those are the things God says, stay away from. They're going to hurt you. Those things. But God's never asked you to leave anything that's good. Against some things, there's no law. Like loving one another. No law against that. Number 9, the last one, the Bible will reward your obedience to it. It's in verse 11. Verse 11 says, and in keeping them, the judgments, there's great reward. And I think all of us here can attest to that. The good rewards go to those who follow the rules. The good rewards. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Yeah, those who are patient. In Romans 2, verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good. See the reward. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. See the reward. for staying on God's side, for letting people know to whom you belong. See, the treasure in Scripture, and listed in the just in the verses 7 through 11, there are nine of them. Nine of them all together in one place. So the value. So I just put at the top just a little chart to kind of separate a couple things out. But there's really nine treasures in Scripture in that verses 7 through 11. So that's the lesson this evening. Always when we assemble together for a time of worship, we extend an invitation for salvation. And we say this pretty much the same thing each time, because God's word doesn't change. So it's those final words of Jesus at the very end before he ascends back to the Father. Matthew 28, beginning verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. Don't change it. Go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, heavenly authority, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them, continued education, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Then Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus wanted his apostles to go out and preach a salvation message. And that's what we strive to do at the close of each lesson. We offer a salvation invitation. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to be baptized for remission of sins, for newness of life, we can accomplish that this evening. You simply need your desire to be known. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us.
I'm going to change to 9:12.
9:12.